So it's a blessing to be here in this shrine of St. Joseph. It's kind of the culmination of our pilgrimage during this year of St. Joseph. And I just would like us all to be aware that there's so many graces that God desires to give us here, and that he's so happy when we have the confidence in him really to ask for big graces, the big things that we need in our life. Sometimes we content ourselves with asking for little wimpy, skimpy graces when we really need like the big graces in our life. And let's not hesitate to be confident in the love of our Heavenly Father who's brought us to this place during this year of St. Joseph, that he's so pleased when we trust him enough to ask for big things, the things that we really need. Today we meditate in a special way on St. Joseph, who's a silent saint. He doesn't say a word in the whole of the Gospels, yet such an important figure in Jesus' life. We know that he's an important figure because of what the angel says to him in the dream. And he says, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." So we remember two things about St. Joseph here. That first of all, he's husband of Mary. Mary, the immaculate one, the pure one, the only one besides Jesus who's human and without original sin. So he's spouse to Mary, but he's also father to Jesus. And we know that he's father to Jesus because not biological father, but real father, adopted father. Fathers who have adopted children know that they're a real father to their children. And even this, what the angel tells Joseph in this gospel is that he, Joseph, is to name him Jesus. And that was the father's job. So even this is a little sign from the Lord's messenger to Joseph that he's going to be real father for Jesus. And how humbling that must have been for Joseph. Jesus, of course, is the eternal Son of God, our Savior. And so of the three in the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the only one who's a sinner is Joseph. Of course, he's had to be a very holy and righteous man. The scriptures tell us this, but he didn't have this special grace that Mary did to be completely without sin. And so how humbling for Joseph to be chosen for this task. He must have felt very unworthy of it. He must have wondered how in the world God would choose him and how he would be able to live out the vocation that he's been given. And what was the vocation that he was given? Well, it's to be husband of Mary and father of Jesus. And as husbands and fathers know, that's a big responsibility, because that means that you're the protector, you're the provider, you're the security for your wife and your family. And that must have been very humbling for St. Joseph. I sometimes think about St. Joseph when I'm reading the words that St. Paul has, the exhortation for husbands and wives found in Ephesians 5, when St. Paul says something that is kind of difficult for us to understand, but he says, "Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then he says, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself, the Savior of the body." And then he goes on to say that husbands need to love their wives. But how humbling for Joseph that Mary, who's holier than he is, who's better than he is in some ways, how it would please God that Mary, the most pure one, the most holy one, would submit herself to her husband, who's less holy and less pure than she is. So I think this is a way that men can relate to Joseph, because there's a reason that men call their wives their better half. Yet Saint Paul's exhortation to families is the same for all of us. For the husband is head of his family. That's what Saint Paul tells us. And he doesn't say that because the husband's the best one in the family. No, actually, usually it's his wife who is the better half. But Saint Paul says that the husband is to live in imitation of Christ, who's head of the church. And so the husband of fathers, the one who's head of the family. And I think that's something for us to marvel at, that God would call the man of the family to be head of the household, not because he's the holiest one in the household or the best one in the household, but maybe precisely because of the weaknesses of the man, that God calls him to do something that he knows is difficult for him. God always calls us to, when God calls us, he always calls us to a vocation which we don't know if we're going to have the strength to fulfill. But that's precisely why God calls us to difficult and challenging vocations, is precisely so that we'll have to rely on him, that we'll have to feel our need for his grace, feel our own weaknesses along the way, so that we're humble, first of all, but we keep on going to the Lord as the source of our strength. And so surely that was Joseph's life. God called him to do something very difficult. God called him in a most unexpected way, which is to be the unworthy head of the Holy Family. And certainly Joseph would have felt his weaknesses along the way. But precisely because Joseph would have felt his weaknesses so often, he would have had to rely all the more on God. And he would have had to surrender himself all the more upon God. And this is pleasing to the Lord. Surely Joseph lived with the awareness that any success that the Holy Family had in their life was due to God's blessing and not Joseph's skills or talents or know-how or ability or worthiness. Certainly Joseph knew that every blessing that they experienced came from God. And so our Heavenly Father is so pleased when we humbly accept the vocation that he's given us, which, if we're husband, that is to be the spiritual head of our family, even though our wife may highly exceed us in her holiness and spirituality and relationship with God. I think that's usually the case. But God still calls the husband to be spiritual leader of the family, which is humbling. But that's God's call. And even if we experience our weakness along the way, and of course it's analogous for us priests too, because I'm always looking out at the people to whom I'm preaching, and I'm always aware that many are way holier than I am and have a very close and intimate relationship with God that I desire so much for myself. So priests live this too in our own way, knowing that the bride, who's the church, that the bride is holier than we are, and yet God calls us to be, unworthy as we are, spiritual leader, spiritual head of this family. That's the church. So what an important day for us as we come to the shrine of St. Joseph to pray for the men in our life. And so this might be, we have so many women with us who have lost their husbands. This might be praying for the soul of their husband in a special way here at the Shrine of St. Joseph, patron of husbands. It might be just having a quiet, thankful heart for the good qualities that your deceased husband exhibited in his life, the ways that you shared faith together, and for all of us, whether we've lost a husband or not, to pray for our husband who's living, or to ask St. Joseph for blessings upon us, to ask Joseph for his blessings upon our sons, who themselves are husbands and fathers or priests, really to pray for the men in our life. You know, we often talk about a crisis of vocations in the church, but I don't think the crisis of vocations is a lack of priests. I think the crisis of vocations is a lack of spiritual fathers and families, spiritual leaders in the homes, because that's the St. John Paul II taught us that every family is a domestic church. That's what he'd call the family, the domestic church. And so he said it's the home where we learn how to live as a Christian, and in that environment we need a spiritual leader who, and God calls that spiritual leader to be the husband, the father, the family. So let's ask him today for special graces for all of the men in your life who are called to be husbands and families, your sons-in-law, your own sons, and in a special way for all the men in our parishes because we're here to pray for our own spiritual benefit, but we're also here to pray for our parishes as well as we make this pilgrimage on their behalf. So today we give thanks to the Lord for the marvelous and the mysterious ways that he works in our life, and how he calls unworthy people to tasks that they could never imagine that they would be able to fulfill. But it's only through God's grace. We need his grace. We need his help. And today we ask in a special way for the intercession of that great Saint Joseph himself, given such a challenging yet exalted vocation for which he was not worthy, for which he had to pray every day for the grace and rely on God. So we ask today for the grace always to be dependent on God for everything that we do, every vocation that he gives us, especially for the men in our life. May our Lord Jesus be the model as the spiritual leader of the church for all husbands and families. As St. Joseph lived in imitation of him, let us also live in imitation of St. Joseph.